Cleaning Nation, it is time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and to find everything that you need to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, if your life is just flat out better because you're a member of Cleaning Nation, share your love on iTunes with a 5-star rating, review, share with your friends. If you hate the show, stop listening immediately and feel free to shoot me 7 or 8 angry emails. If you're getting massive value, spread the word, show the love. Tell your friends on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Today, we are chatting with Marsha Frizzley from Liberty Building Maintenance. Liberty Building Maintenance has been serving the Southern California area with janitorial and post-construction cleanup since 2001. Believe it or not, Marsha started as a file clerk 15 years ago at the company and bought it herself and is now the owners of just 2 years ago. If you want to reach out to Marsha and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.libertybm for Liberty Building Maintenance, I hope. Marsha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And I want to dive right in. Tell me, if you don't mind, tell Clean Nation the story of how on God's green earth you wandered into this company as a brand new nobody 15 years ago and 13 years later ended up as the owner.
Well, I'd known the previous owner of the company for quite a while, and he started the company and knew I was unhappy in my current position. So he said, hey, we're doing this startup company. Do you want to come help us in the office? And I didn't put much weight in it because, you know, startups are precarious. You never really know if they're going to make it or not. And he didn't pay me very much money. But I went in there and I created all the processes, all the internal office items and payroll, everything, and just grew with the company. So it was actually kind of nice. I was able to just go along and learn as we went, learn as we got larger. And instead of coming into something that was already complicated and trying to figure it out, I was creating all of it. And there were two partners when it started, and then one of them left about 5 years ago. And the other owner just wasn't quite as involved as the previous owner had been and operations, and he didn't replace anyone to do the operation. So I kind of took that over and started dealing with the customers more and scheduling the jobs and dealing with the supervisors. So really getting a feel for it just by default because someone had to do it. And then sure enough, the remaining owner called me up one day and said, I'm leaving the state. I'm getting out of the industry. Do you want to buy the company? And it was really scary and a huge decision. And because it's a big commitment, your time, your money, everything, just you're kind of throwing it out there and hoping that it works. But the company was running well. We were profitable. We have great supervisors and great staff, like great cleaning staff. So it was really a no-brainer when because I had just an inkling along the line that maybe I wanted to be my own boss someday, but gosh, what do you do? Create a widget? How do you even go about doing that? So it made sense that I just kind of took over the company that I already knew. So it was really hard to say no to it. As frightening as it was, I couldn't say no to it.
Yeah, that is. It sounds like you just kind of hung around and kept bringing value, and it was almost a logical conclusion.
It really was. It was. The risk was difficult because I'm not a risk taker. But I knew I would regret it if I didn't take the risk.
And how have things been? So for the last 2 years, has it gotten better, worse?
Good. Yeah. They've gotten better. We made our sales goal last year, which was great, and definitely have raised sales since I took over. It literally overnight, my stress level changed because until you're a business owner, you have no idea what it's like to be a business owner. Literally in one night when I signed that paper the next day, my whole life changed. And before, when I was the office manager and the operations manager, you know, I worked 8, maybe 9 hours a day. Now I'm putting in a lot more hours than that. But at least it's all going towards my goal, not somebody else's goal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you said it so perfectly. I've bought and sold more than a few businesses, and you're so right that it is so much different when you work for somebody and then all of a sudden it's yours overnight. The stress and the opportunity, the excitement, I don't want to just be negative, but the stress just quadruples. Yeah. It just all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, if no one does this thing, it's not going to happen. It's me.
Right. And you can't blame anybody else. You are it. You are, everything relies on your shoulders. And it's kind of a good feeling too, because when you do make it happen, and you move forward and you make a lot of right decisions. Now you make some wrong ones too, but when you make a lot of the correct decisions, it's like, wow, I can do this. I never thought I could do this. And I have 130 employees. I am not a small company. So the fact that it's that size of a business and I took it over having no management experience or anything, it's pretty cool to say that I can do that. And that's what keeps me going, because I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. You know, of course, the goal is to grow it and make a lot of money. And who knows if that happens, but that's okay, because I'm doing it and I'm taking it as far as I can.
All right. Well, we haven't talked about this beforehand, so I'm taking a big risk that I'm going to make you look good and not stupid. But take a second to brag on yourself. When you took over 2 years ago, how many employees did you have and how many do you have now?
We probably had about 100 back then, and we were profitable, but not really profitable, just barely. We were barely making payroll. We were barely paying the bills. There was a lot of money mismanagement, not to knock on my former boss, because he's a great guy, but there was some issues there. And so we've greatly reduced our expenses and increased our profit. And that's just, I'm as a rule, I'm a conservative person. I don't like to spend my money. And I think that really helps in a business, because I'm not tempted to go get the brand new expensive equipment or the brand new trucks or anything like that. I'm really trying to be careful and just do the and spend money on the bare minimum. And so far that's working out.
Well, so just some big thumb math. If you were at 100 employees, now you've got 130, and assuming your revenue grew commensurate with your headcount, that's a 30% growth in 2 years. That's insane.
That is pretty good.
Well, especially at that level, right? If you're doing $10,000 a month and you grow, or 10,000, yeah, you're doing $100,000 a year and you grow 30%, that's only 130,000, not that big of a deal. But when you're doing a seven-figure business, 30% growth over 2 years, and you increase profitability, not decreased it, you're out of your mind. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, it is. And I need to stop and think about that every once in a while. I really do, because it is quite an accomplishment. But, you know, it's never enough for me. So that's one of the things I have to focus on. It's never enough. I want it more, 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 more. But that's what keeps me going every day. So I'm not happy with anything until you just stop trying anymore. So I'm just going to keep trying and just try and grow it as much as I can, and that's the goal. But I do have to try and step back every once in a while and say, hey, I'm kicking ass here. I'm doing pretty good.
And
I think a lot of business owners, they don't do that enough.
Very few do. Very few. We're always there to fret and worry about things that need to be fretted and worried about oftentimes, but we're not there to pat ourselves on the back. And just to give you a little perspective, I come in contact with thousands and personally coach hundreds of business owners a year. And I got to tell you, industry-wide, I get to talk to people that are crushing it and people that are getting crushed and everyone in between. And 30% growth in 2 years when you're a seven-figure company and increasing profitability, that's huge. You absolutely deserve a pat on the back. That's fantastic performance. That really is an A-plus performance.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. When you're the boss, you don't get many attaboys. So it's nice to get that from somebody else. Thank you very much.
Well, and without patting myself on the back too hard, that's from somebody that knows what they're talking about, right? I'm not just a passerby going, you know, it sounds good to me, but I don't know. This is all I do every day, all day. And that's really fantastic. So I was just pretending to be glad to have you on the show before. Now I'm like, all right, this is an exciting day.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful. Thank you.
My pleasure. And your story is just captivating. I got to be honest with you. I get to talk to everybody, and I've asked that question, how did you get in the business, hundreds of times. And it's every time I get a new answer. You think it'd start to be a pattern or a theme, or, oh, that's this. I've heard that before. Yeah. Everyone's got a cool story, and yours does not disappoint. All right. How can I add back? I love what you're doing. I want to contribute. What's going on in your world that I can give you some love and help on today?
One of my consistent challenges is pricing, and it comes from there's so many different scenarios in pricing, and I do both contract janitorial and then also construction cleanup, which, you know, is a one and done, and you go on to the next one. But I do have repeat customers in that realm, and, of course, the janitorial is monthly customers, and usually with the first time quote that I'm giving to somebody, I know about where to be my profit margin. And then where I get challenged is if I get that account and we're moving along with that building, and that customer then says, hey, I have another building I want to quote you on. I try and decide, okay, so all my fixed costs are the same. I know the labor that I need in this particular building. Then do I keep that profit margin the same? Do I increase it because they're a good customer and I have a pretty good chance of getting this new building? Or do I decrease it because they are a good customer and I want to give them a break and I want to make sure they know they're getting a good value because they are a good customer? So there's all these scenarios going on, and I spend way too much time thinking about it and going back and forth and back and forth, and I finally just throw a number down and send it. But there's got to be an easier way to decide those kind of things.
What, I love that question, A, because I can help you, and B, because I promise you there's other listeners out there going, oh my goodness, I need that help. So we're gonna hook a lot of people up. So first and foremost, based on the way that you speak and what you've told me, you sound like a very systems and process-oriented person. Is that a fair wager, or am I making it up?
Correct. That's correct. Yep.
Okay. I got that within about a second and a half. Yeah, I talked to her pretty quick, and I'm like, this lady knows systems. If she were a client, I wouldn't have to beat her up about or arm wrestle her to implement systems. She'd be all over that. First and foremost, I'm going to say something, God bless it, I knew that, which is we need a system. The last thing we ever need to be doing is having the owner of the company certainly trying to piece by piece, case by case, create a deal. So would it be fair to say, hey, instead of every time Marcia having to be like, oh, this account wants this or that account wants that, what do we do? How do we do it? Would it make sense to say, hey, let's have a system, follow that system. And if part of that system is check with Marcia for a deviation of this much or for, you know, over $5,000 a month or something like that, fine. But 80 to 100% of these should be dealt by system and not have you touch them at all. Is that a fair foundation to lay, or do you have any problems with that so far?
Yeah. No, that would be great. That black and I'm much better with black and white than in these big gray areas. So that's right up my alley.
All right, so I'm going to give you some good news that'll hopefully make you feel better, and then I'll answer your question directly. The good news is I truly think whether you increase price, decrease price, or just kind of went the same price and had a system, which every time we just give them a flat 10% cut as long as our margins are this high, however you wanted to do it, if you had a consistent system that was written and you applied it across the board evenly every time, no matter what, it doesn't matter which of those you pick, more price, same price, or less price, it would be better than what you're doing now. So literally shut your eyes, throw a dart, and whatever it hits in terms of pricing, if that's what you just make as your system, you've already made yourself better by 23%. Is that kind of
gives you... Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's not something you should be dealing with. So that said, that's the right answer, which is just the right answer. We need a system. Now I'm going to go into my opinion and tell you what I would do if it was my company based on the experience that I've had, and you can take that for what it's worth. But the correct answer is for sure have a system and follow that system and get Marcia removed from making that decision or being in on that meeting, so to speak, every freaking time you have that. Refer to the system, and that's what does the pricing. That's the fact. When we go to opinion, I would keep it the same. Or I'd raise it. So first choice would be keeping the same. Second would be raising it. Third would be decreasing it. I'll tell you why I don't want to decrease it. They're definitely 100% going to come to you if and when the service is poor or there's a problem. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay. And you are not going to come back to them and go, well, I know we're doing a half-assed job, but we just lowered your price a little bit. There's no scenario or universe where that's going to happen, right? Like, you just would never say that. So you're not going to get, quote unquote, the value or the credit that you're hoping to get, right? They might appreciate it, but I don't know that they're that locked in on that, their numbers, where they're going to go, well, we're paying $1,800 for this, and this should be an extra $900, but she's going to do it for $700, and I get that $200 value. There's just no way that they're that in tune with, you're just not going to get the credit. I'd rather have the cash than the credit and have a little extra money. So if they need an extra service or something, a little love, or you need to go back, or you need to invest a little bit of money because for whatever reason, you've got it in the margin. And you're not like, oh, geez, this is a thin account already. And now we have to do this. And it puts us in a bad situation. Any pushback on that?
No, I like that. I like that a lot. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I always tell my customers, everything that you like about dealing with us, all the good things, comes from margin. And if there's no margin, we can't do any of those magical things, right? Would you rather Walt Disney take away all the characters and the fun and whatever and just have like 9 roller coasters and a popsicle stand, but you could get in for free? Or would you rather they charge you the $100, but it's this magical experience that you can share with your family, right? All that magic comes from the money. If there's no money, they can't create the experience. So for me, lowering the price would be right out. because that would somehow intimate to them, I was screwing you on the first one, and now I'm going to give you a fair price.
Right.
Or if I felt bad and wanted to, if I'm like, no, they're an amazing customer, and I do something for them, I would keep the price the same and take extra margin to surprise and delight them. I would add services that I know they'd appreciate and would make them feel loved and special with that margin. But I would never just give it back to them. So
that's a great idea.
The only reason I'd stay away from raising prices is I don't like customers coming in and getting bid against, and they're like, hey, you were taking advantage of me. What happened? And I don't know that would happen, but that would be my fear with raising prices. If I didn't have that fear, again, I would raise price and then just make absolutely sure that I was taking such good care of them that, when you go to Disney, you're never like, this is too expensive. You know it's going to be expensive because it costs a lot of money to create this magical experience. So as long as you're creating the magical experience, the price conversation isn't as important. It's when you don't create that magical experience, all of a sudden, the difference between $452 a month and $397 is all of a sudden a big thing. But if you're creating a magical experience, just charge $500. Nobody cares.
Yeah, because they're not going to give a second thought about it. It's never going to come across their mind. And if someone comes in their office and wants to give them a bid, they say they don't even want to hear it. They say, no, I'm happy with the current company. That's ideal. That's what you want.
Yeah, I love Marcia. Are you kidding me? I'd rather... you can't do that. No, Marcia's my friend and I love her, and they bake me cookies, and it seems like it was just, you know, this natural thing, but you have a system in place where you bake cookies for your people every 3 months, that sort of stuff, where you have the money to create this amazing experience. And honestly, you want to lose your company or lose your bids to other people, think that you're providing cleaning services for money. You want your customers to love you and stay around forever and pay whatever you want. Realize they really want you to feel, they really want you to understand them and to make them feel special and help them achieve their goals. And if you do that through building service maintenances, all of a sudden the budget isn't as important.
I love that. That's so true. So true.
And I've got one more thing. Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead. Say that again. It was important.
It's really about making the customer feel fabulous.
Yeah, and they won't say that. They'll say, I want the most cleaning I can get for the least amount of dollars. That's what they'll tell you. But that's not what they mm-hmm. But what they will respond to is making them feel special and feel fabulous, just like you said. So just so for all the Cleaning Nation out there yelling at their TV, their computer screen or their phone or whatever you're listening to this on, no, my customers want the most cleaning for the least money. I agree that that's what they'll tell you that they want. But they will they will respond to how you make them feel. People will say, if Disney said, and there's 1,000 examples, I'm just using Disney because we've used it this episode. If Disney said, would you like us to lower our prices by 10%? Everybody's going to categorically say yes. If they said, would you like more rides for less money? Everyone's going to say yes. But they know that's not the business that they're in. Steve Jobs, when he created the iPhone for 1,000, you know, songs in your pocket, not the iPhone, the iPod. I'm sure if they would have said, we want it smaller, cheaper, faster, easy, there was all these things that people would have told him they wanted, but what they really wanted was an experience, and he knew what he was able to tap into that experience. Same holds true today. If you're creating experience and they feel special and understood and that you're helping them get to their goals, all of a sudden what you're charging per month is number 7 on the top 10 of what's important.
That's fabulous advice. I love that. Love that. It's all about people.
Good Lord, yes. And people, but how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. And I'm pretty good at that sometimes.
I see, that's the cagey Marcia trying to downplay her. Oh, by the way, I grew my company 30%. Oh, I'm kind of good at that. I have a feeling if I called Marcia's customers and took a survey, they would be gaga over her. Is that fair? Is there a good chance that I'm not?
That would be nice. Yeah, probably. I think a lot of them would probably feel that way, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, let's do this. First of all, thank you so much for sharing your story. Hopefully there's a lot of value. I know Cleaning Nation got that. I want to shut up for 2 seconds and let you share the experience you've had over the last decade and a half in the business. We're going to hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best advice you've ever received in personally or professionally?
Well, it's a really simple one, but it's gotten me through a lot of days, especially as a business owner, where it can be you have so many highs and so many lows. That's another thing that you have to get used to, are the highs and the lows. There's not a lot of middle ground. But I'd say the best advice is there's nothing more you could be doing. You give your best every day, and you know what's your best, and you have to be okay with that, and you take it one day at a time. I tell myself this all the time, just get through tomorrow. Just get through tomorrow. Just get through tomorrow. And it keeps you going, because there's something I feel like there's something fabulous that's going to happen down the road, whether I sell my company for a lot of money or my employees tell me how much they like working for me, whatever it is, there's something so great down the road that if I just keep plugging away every day, it's going to get there.
Gosh, I really like that. And you're backing up your words with your actions. This is the lady that started off the file clerk and just one day at a time kept showing up, kept hanging out, and now you are where you are. So I think you're putting your money where your mouth is and your time where your mouth is. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
Well, it's when I first bought the company and I thought we were going to have all kinds of money because once the previous owner left, his huge salary left with him. And I made the assumption we were going to be rolling in the dough. And so I promised a couple of my supervisors big raises, and I gave them big raises all at once. And I wanted to let them know how much I appreciate them, but business-wise, it was not a good decision because one of them turned out to not be quite what I thought he was going to be once I took over because I was giving him more responsibility. But now he's at this big salary, and there's nothing like you can't take it away from him. So I would recommend people, if you are thinking about increases, do them very slowly and a little bit at a time because you can't take it back. You can always give them more, but you can't take it back.
And
as much as your heart – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I interrupted. Please finish.
I would say as much as your heart wants to give it to them and they're a hard worker and you like their attitude, you have to be really careful about putting money out there that's out there forever.
And quick feedback, and you're going to punch me and go, where were you a year ago or 2 years ago when I made this decision? Always make increase in pay performance-based. Always, 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 always. That's how you can take it back. If we're not making this or hitting this, then you've got to perform as opposed to just, you know, like we don't give tenure in small business where you can do whatever you want and we're just going to get paid this until one of us dies. Always make it performance-based. Okay, last question. What's one idea? Yeah, sorry, again, I started a little too late, but there's someone in Cleaning Nation out there going, oh, you saved me. I was just about to do that. Thank you. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something simple that can improve their lives and or their business immediately.
Again, this comes down to the personal relationships and people. One of the things that I've started doing with my supervisors, we have a monthly operations meeting where we all get together and have lunch and talk about things. And you know, there's not always, we're in the cleaning business for crying out loud. We clean toilets. So there's not a lot of glamorous things to talk about. There's, you know, customers don't always call you when you do a good job or they call you when you miss a paperclip on the ground. So you're always trying to find positive things about the industry. And so one of the things I've started doing is at those meetings, I think of something, well, beforehand, I think of something to thank every single supervisor for, whether it's something they did that week, maybe it's their general attitude, maybe it's their appearance. I point out every person, and there's probably 9 people in these meetings, and I thank each of them in front of everybody for something that I like about them or something that they've done.
Gosh, Marcia, that's easily, and we've done hundreds of these podcasts, easily top 10 of easily implementable. It's totally free. You can do it as soon as you stop listening to this podcast, and it will do a bigger impact than just about anything we've talked about. Make your people feel special. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Let them know it's not a secret. Really, that was out of the park, Marcia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for sharing
your passion, your story. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Marcia's show notes page and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.